some music. I want to thank you all for standing with the Gokhale family, providing food. But we have an announcement, right? Avoid visiting, because Rita needs to rest and not be agitated by too much conversation. And if you want to communicate with her, I guess talk to Robin and Rhoda and find out how best you can communicate. You can use technology and send messages of encouragement. You can also be participating in the providing of meals, and if and when needed, going and sitting with her. But let that be coordinated by Rhoda, so that we don't all land up there and become cause of anxiety for Rita and Robin. Also do the same for Divakar, who is also feeling very, very weak, right? So stand with me as you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're continuing in our series on the church, and this passage helps us to focus on one of many attitudes and attributes that is very desirable in a local church. Chapter 9 and verse 6 to 15. The whole of chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians is about money. And you do well to study it, but we're looking at verse 6 to 15. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. And the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. This passage, please be seated, is about generosity. In the next few weeks, I'll be taking a few of the other required attitudes and attributes of church life as we fellowship with one another and serve one another and minister one another. So today it's all about generosity from this passage. How to give and not hoard. how to be open in our hearts, and that's where it all starts. I want us to start by looking at several scriptures that give us principles of generosity in both the Old and New Testament. Starting at Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy in the Old Testament in chapter 15. This is what Israel was told. Chapter 15 of Deuteronomy, verse 7 and 8. If among you one of your brothers should become poor, in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open up your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. That is an exhortation to God's people in the Old Testament. And it speaks about a heart The heart matters. We need a heart like the heart of God. God's heart was open towards us. And his hands were outstretched, open hands. We know from a fuller study of the Old Testament that Israel was warned against usury, charging interest on loans. And so when they are told to give sufficient for the need of a brother in need, it was without interest. In the New Testament, we know that when we give, we are exhorted not to expect it back, though the receiver should be committed to returning what he borrows. The giver should in his heart and mind write it off. I found that a very useful principle, because then you don't feel rotten when you don't get back what you've given. And it's okay to be a loser in such matters. It's okay. You learn valuable lessons, but never shut up your heart. Close your fist. Whatever it may be is what that text says. Don't harden your heart. Shut your hand against your poor brother. Now, I hope you underline the word brother. This is not all and sundry. So, everybody comes and takes from you and you think that's what the Bible tells you. That's not what the Bible says. It's for brothers. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Timothy, as the pastor of the church in Ephesus, chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse 16 to 19, is told to deal with the rich in this manner. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. Now the word charge is order, commandment. So the shepherd, the pastor, is supposed to meet up with the rich and order them with the authority of God not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, because the rich can hoard and think money is their security, money is their identity. So leave that, the rich are to be told, and put your hope on God, who richly provides us with everything
to enjoy. Now, you've got to believe that statement. God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Do you really believe God provides you everything? Or do you have to provide yourself with everything to enjoy? Inasmuch as you believe God provides everything for you to enjoy, you will depend less on your money to provide you everything to enjoy. The rich are to do good, to be rich in good works. I hope that makes sense. If you are wealthy, if you have wealth, you're supposed to, in equal proportion, be wealthy in doing good works. And it has to do with how you spend your money, how you distribute your money. Good works related to your wealth. To be generous. Underline that. To be generous. If you have wealth, be generous. Ready to share. Those are very specific commandments which don't need explanation, just needs obedience. What happens when you do this? Now, this is not ulterior. This is not a bad thing to believe. The rest of this verse. When you do this, when you are rich in good works, when you are generous, when you are ready to share your wealth, you are storing up treasure for yourself as a good foundation for the future. And I hope you know this future is not just heaven. This future is on earth. In proportion to your generosity, which is a spiritually motivated generosity. It is in Christ that you are generous. It is not outside of Christ. Even for believers, this is a spiritual and spiritually motivated generosity. You are sharing your wealth. You store up a good foundation for your own future on earth. I have told you the story before, but when I think of this kind of thing, I think of Bishop Reed, who used to be my parish priest when I was a young boy in St. Paul's Church. He was the retired bishop of Nasik, and he came to St. Paul's Church, and he was unknown to most of the church members. Even up to the age of 18, in his 80s, he used to cycle from Staley Road to St. Paul's Church. But when he died, all the sweepers in the community, the postmen, class 4 people from hospitals and all over the place, you had to be there to believe. That church was packed with the poor. Came to pay their last respect to this man who had been beyond imagination, generous to the poor. Not just brother theorists, this helper had laid a good foundation, and there were any number of people who would stand by such people in their hour of need. You'll never know when you get to be yourself. So that they can take hold of what is true in life. When you are generous, you take hold of the real life, which is the spiritual, which is the invisible, the eternal life. Because ultimately, and truly, where is your security if it is not in that eternal life that God has given you in Christ, in your salvation? The early church was committed to sharing, even as they started church. At the very birth of the New Testament church, in Acts chapter 2 verse 45, they were selling their possessions. They're actually doing that. Every once in a while, that would be a good thing to do. To do some spring cleaning and sell all the old bottles and old rags and old clothes and old shoes and I don't know what you have. Hema was saying moving house was good because she found so much to throw out or give away, right, Vishal? We just unawares accumulate. Even that which has to be thrown away to the kabadiwala will earn some money to give to the poor. But why should we just give away what we don't want? There are lots of things that we don't want, but there are also lots of things that we don't need that we keep. They were selling their possessions. Even the things they may have needed. When someone else had a bigger need. Why? Distributing the proceeds to all as any have need. And that is proactive generosity. Right? Let's see some enthusiastic nods. Get enthusiastic about generosity. In chapter 4 of Acts, verses 32 to 37, now the full number of those who believed. Chapter 4, verse 32 to 37. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. That's unity. Real unity. One heart, one soul. I mean, if in my heart I'm one with you, then I won't doubt you, suspect you, always be looking at, you know, what's behind those words. There is trust in this unity. But then see practically how it works out. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. This was not communism, but community. Disciples, community church. A sharing capacity out of community, caring. And with great power. So you see the connection? This one heart and soul, this not being possessive about my things, but letting go as needed. This community caring and sharing produced great power for the apostles. It's an amazing thing to preach on the platform of a very giving church. Possibly the greatest magnet towards the gospel and Jesus Christ is a loving, caring community. Did you know that? In fact, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And in John 13 verse 35 he said, love one another as I have loved you. Because this is the way that the world will be attracted to Christ. And what greater love than sharing in real needs among the brothers. So the great power came from that platform. The apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is really alive. I would be secure in my eternity and I would let go of that which is temporal. There was not a needy person among them. We should, from time to time, not just the committee members, and the pastor, but every one of us should be looking around. Is there any needy person in DCC? Is there? If there is, then we have to stop that. There should be no needy person amongst us. For as many were owners of lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what they sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. So what the people were doing is selling things, even property and houses, and surrendering it in submission to the leadership and telling the leaders, you distribute it to those in need. It was not just everyone doing whatever they wanted to meet everybody's need. It was organized. Otherwise it would result in chaos. And even maybe some people taking advantage of generosity. So we come to our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And when we look at verse 6, it talks about sowing sparingly and reaping sparingly, or sowing bountifully and reaping bountifully. And in this, the Bible is giving us a principle that we do well to take to heart. And this is not the only place we find this principle. We've already read about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6 about the exhortation to the rich. But there are other supporting verses that emphasize God's blessings on the generous believer. So, have nimble fingers as we look at half a dozen or more verses. Psalm 37 has this to say, Psalm 37 and verse 26. He is ever lending generously. Who? The blessed man, the righteous man, the one who loves God. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Now this word lending doesn't imply necessarily that you are giving your money when someone wants to borrow it. That is not always the implication. The word is used freely to mean the one who is giving away his money. The one who is lending generously. The issue is not lending. It is lending generously. Freely. The word generous is not just talking about quantity, but talking about quality of giving. Is it from the heart? And what happens? His children become a blessing. This is as spontaneous as the evening follows the morning. If you are giving generously, your children become a blessing. Now, how that happens is under God's sovereign workings of His grace. But I hope you know that this man who is lending generously, whose children become a blessing, is motivated by God. He is a godly man. So there are other things that are happening in that home. And generosity is just the hallmark of the total spiritual atmosphere of that home. It is not just generosity per se, it is spiritual generosity that comes out of the spiritual life that pervades the whole home. Psalm 41 verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. And the word considers always is a word of calculation and evaluation. It is not blind, naive, simple-minded. It's one who thinks through the issues and comes to a studied, wise opinion. In the day of trouble, what happens? The Lord delivers it. You see the blessing? If you are able to embrace the poor and meet their needs, God helps you in the day of your trouble. Believe it. It's in the Bible. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. I mean, this is down-to-earth reality. The Lord actually saves you, protects you, in very, very practical terms. When you're in danger, from your enemies, from accidents, from all kinds of things, from harm, from me. He's called blessed in the land. He has great reputation. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. I'm not making this up. The Lord sustains him on a sick bed. Did you realize that? How you can get sick to death, but God will sustain him. Why? Because of just one thing. In your spirituality, you've considered and been generous to the poor. In his illness, you restore him to full health. Is this your investment in your life? Are you resourcing yourself with this kind of investment for your own future blessing? And I'm telling you, this is in the Word of God, so it's not ulterior motivated. This is the promise of God to be believed and lived by. Psalm 112, verse 5. Just so that you think with me that this is all over the place in the Bible. Psalm 112, verse 5. It is well with a man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. I hope you see that the verses, not neglecting the area of fairness and justice and righteousness, because justice is righteousness, spirituality, whose hallmark is generosity, the Lord is going to deal with you well. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him for his deed. This is astoundingly powerful. When you give to the poor, you are giving to the Lord, and he will repay you. Don't run after that poor man who can't pay you back. And we're talking about genuine poor. We're not talking about fakes and parasites. We're talking about genuine poor, and we're talking about brothers. God keeps an account, not just spiritual blessings, but God will look after you in practical terms, and we've seen it spelled out in some of those verses. Proverbs 22, verse 9.
Another amazing verse. Whoever has a bountiful eye. Now this bountiful eye is reverse, okay? Not for yourself, but for others. Will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. In Luke, there are those verses which we know in the earlier part, but let's read the whole thing, 37 and 38. Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And that's it, give. That's a simple word, right? Give. Do you need explanation for that word? Give. You know what give means? It's the opposite of receive. Get. The opposite of receive and get is give. And it will be given to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Please don't think of this happening in heaven. This is talking about this life. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If I'm stingy, what's going to happen? God's word is very plain. There's going to be stingy returns from God. Not because he's stingy, but because he's put in a principle of spiritual life that operates according to his purpose and will. And so it is right for us to say there are people who are needy. And there is this imbalance in the world. There are those who have and there are the have-nots, right? The have-nots are there for many reasons. But one reason for us to consider very seriously, the have-nots are there so that we who are the haves can learn how to give to the have-nots. And that too generously. There's a very clear verse in Proverbs 21 verse 13. That speaks of loss for those who are not generous to the poor. Look at that verse. Proverbs 21 verse 13. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Is that clear? At a conference, I had a friend sharing the conference with me. This was the late 70s or early 80s. Must have been late 70s. Bob Butler used to work in Nepal or Bangladesh. We talked about these things as we fellowship together. And he took the line that he would always have money in his pocket so that if anyone asked him, he'd give. And I told him, I think that's extreme. But we agreed together that it's better to be like that than to be stingy, to err on that side. There is a principle. Give and you will be blessed. Proverbs 11. Verse 24 to 26. One gives freely. This is interesting. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. You see that he withholds what he should give. And I think there's clarity there. He should be giving something, but he withholds it. He's not withholding what he should not give, what he should keep for himself. And we'll be talking about that. You need to keep for yourself. Otherwise you are messing up your life, where the finances are concerned. But when you withhold what you should give, what is appropriate to give, what you are planning to give, then you only suffer one. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched. And no one who waters will himself, and one who waters will himself be watered. You see the principle? Make me a blessing. Help me give. And I will be blessed. The people curse him who holds back grain, but blessings on the head of him who sells it. And that's practically experienced, right? When there is hoarding of the rations by the grocery stores, everyone curses them. Kerosene is hoarded, petrol is hoarded, rice and wheat is hoarded, prices rise, everyone curses those kind of people. God's put it in his word that that is a principle he has purposed in this plan.